for a moment. But we, I think I started, a lot of you weren't here when we started, so I'm just going to start again in terms of, I want to introduce Trish Frost to us, or to all of you. But years ago, when Stephen and I first came to the church, I guess our first Sunday, I'm just trying to think. June 5th, 1994 was when we became pastors, like associate pastors of this church, but we had come before that, and there were many, many godly men and women that would come to this church that we would connect with that would really just speak into our lives. And I remember when Stephen and I first came on staff here, there was John and Paula Sanford. You guys, some of you remember John and Paula Sanford, and godly man and woman, married for many years. Anyways, they really spoke the message of the Father loving us and he getting our hearts healed up. And then many came after that. But Jack and Trish Frost came, and we had met them. I was explaining to people before, we met them by accident, really, in a conference. We had a speaker named Jack Winter. And somehow Stephen had seen some name like Jack Frost. And so Stephen says to John Arnott, wouldn't it be neat if we got Jack Winter and Jack Frost up together? and so we did. We got them up, and that was how we actually got introduced to Trish and Jack. But they were such a blessing to us, and they really, I mean, when they came here at the beginning of the revival, they were just on their faces crying. Their lives just got changed and transformed. They did have a ministry, but God really started working on their hearts, and it just came out of that. But I tell you, the one thing that, when Stephen and I first came here, we came from a very traditional upbringing, which I'm very happy about. You know, I'm glad that we had the Word of God poured into us and that kind of thing, but we didn't really know about the Holy Spirit, and we didn't know about the inner healing aspect. And really, even the other thing that we didn't know about was men and women on the pulpit actually honoring each other, and husbands and wives honoring each other. And I tell you, that was one thing I always remembered about Jack and Trish was, you know, Jack would tell the stories, and Trish would be right there, right there, and Jack would be basically saying what a terrible husband he was and what a terrible father he was, and we'd be like, oh, you know, because in the upbringing that we came from, we would never have said those kind of things. We would have never shared our heart and been open in those areas. But, and Trish, you know, and even your daughter, I remember when she went to the school ministry, you know, the same thing, you know, like they're, so it's just, they're absolutely amazing, their whole family. Jack went to be with the Lord, how many years now? Four years ago? March was 4 years ago. And I know that every time Stephen and I, we would go to the conferences, he would come here, we would be on our faces crying, you know, in between the chairs. Just, it was terrible, but it was good because our hearts were getting healed up. And so it is with my, Stephen, now see, he's talking to me now. So we both do it. It's a two-way thing here. But I just want you to know, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, in the auditorium, Trisha Frost will be here, and she will be talking again. It'll be from, till 2 o'clock? No. Yeah. 10 till 12:30. Then we'll have lunch. Then it'll start at 2 and go till 5. There we go. And if you want lunch, it's $8. But most likely what we'll do is, in the morning, we'll ask you if you would like it. So, now I lost my train. I just, now, okay. But how about, I really, I'm on a good roll. I'm just watching you. Okay, but what I want to say is, I really just want to honor her, because, I mean, for all that she's gone through, I mean, her and Jack had an amazing relationship. They loved each other. They honored each other. I mean, it's never it's always difficult when you lose somebody that you love. But the amazing thing is that Trish and her family, her children, have really carried on the legacy of Shiloh Place and the Father's heart. And they've surrounded themselves with godly men and women, you know, that are on their side in terms of ministering to them and ministering to the world. So it's still going. So how about we just stand up and let's just honor Trisha Frost.
Aw, yay. Aww. Thank you, guys. That is amazing. Wow. You guys got to give me a minute.
Wow. This is my home. Because you see, home represents a place where you feel safe, a place where you find rest, a place where you can learn and walk in your destiny. And my family found that here. Wow. This is a place that will change your life if you let it. Because believe you me, Sandra was very honoring to our family. And if you want to know all the gory details, we've just always been so transparent with laying our lives out so that other people could get healed, because we have received healing. And you know, I love, we say this all the time, but the destiny of this church is to walk in God's love and give it away to Toronto and the world. And you guys, maybe not each and every one of you, but you guys, this church home gave it to my world. And for this, I say thank you. Thank you very, very much. Okay. They used to call my husband Jack the Ripper, because if you come to a Jack Frost conference, you're usually going to get your insides ripped out. Now, that's not such a bad thing, because if I've learned anything in life, I've learned this, and especially through my crises. I've learned that being comfortable is not always comfortable. Did you guys hear that? Being comfortable is not always comfortable. And when we sit in our comfort zones, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I don't want that. You can tell I'm from Southern USA. I've got all kinds of little sayings like that. But I don't want to see people around me not live in their destiny when I know that people can live in their destiny by receiving His love and giving it away. Receiving His love and giving it away. And the neat thing about Shiloh Place Ministries, the ministry that Jack and I started 20 years ago this year. 20 years ago, this ministry was birthed out of a desire for our lives to become whole so that we could give our wholeness away to the world. Are we perfect? Did Jack leave this earth a perfect man? No, he did not. Huh? He became one. Good. Hey, that was a good thought. He is perfected today, is he not? Yeah. But we're still here, and I'm not. But you know what? I want to constantly be moving forward. And it was because of this place, and the ministry, and the willingness. You know what? It wasn't just because Randy Clark came here and had a wonderful words. I mean, that was amazing. But what was the most amazing thing was that a church was willing to lay down their life, to lay down their church, and host the world. And you guys did that. And that's a very honoring thing because, listen, I'm not the only one that this has happened for in this building, in this place, in this town. You know, so we Americans are very, very grateful and indebted to you Canadians. And we say thank you very much. Now, that's my little spill there. So, here we go. Jack and I co-founded Shiloh Place Ministries 20 years ago with the vision that I told you guys about. We just wanted wholeness. How many of you are in here tonight and you're kind of tired of where you are? You know, you live here and you've probably had a lot of healing in this place, but you still might be a little stuck and you just don't want to be stuck anymore. So, what I'm going to talk to you tonight about is becoming what you believe. Did you hear that? Becoming what you believe. Jack Frost was an emotionally detached man. And his mistress, he never cheated on me, to my knowledge. If he did, he would have went to heaven sooner than he did. But to my knowledge, he never cheated on me. But he had a mistress. He had two mistresses. He had the mistress, the sea, his job. And then he had the mistress when he got saved, the ministry. And so many of us make our jobs and we make other things more important than family. And there is nothing more important than family. Why is that? Because why did Father God send Jesus Christ to the earth to begin with? Because he loved the world and he gave us the best thing he had. You just can't beat Jesus. There's nothing better than Jesus. But it's all about family. Family. and a revelation of family love that so changes the world. Changed my world. Some of you guys could stand up here and give just as good a testimony as I could give. Some of you need a testimony. And before this weekend is over, you're going to have a great testimony. And I want to stop right here just a minute because I believe that the testimony testifies. And I might take a couple little side trails because you know what? I'm at home here. I can get up here and tell you guys anything and you're going to believe me. I'm the speaker. You just think that I have the same good character issues. Well, I really do. But I remember one of the conferences that we had here. And I'm going to tell you this story because I want to encourage you to be you. I want to encourage you to step out. When you hear that voice talking to you, it's the power, it's the voice of love. Obey it. Do what it says because your Father will never, with the song we sang tonight, He will never, 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 never fail you. So anyway, there was a bunch of wonderful speakers, and Jack and I just happened to be one of them. And all of a sudden, I turned around, and this place was full. The back was open. I mean, this was in the days where people from all over the world were coming here because they had heard that Father God's presence had just poured out here. And so anyway, we're here. The room is full, and I'm probably sitting right over here somewhere. And I turn around and look, and there was a lady back there, and Father told me, he said, I want you to go back to that lady right there, and I want you to tell her I love her. Now, at that time, at a conference, maybe 4,000 people? 4,000? Three in the building. Okay, so let's exaggerate. There were probably 6,000 people at least in this building. And so anyway, there was literally up and down all the aisles, and I'm going, how am I going to get back there to her? You know, you got to argue with God. When he tells you to do something, there's always that little reasoning about why I can't do this. And so I'm sitting here trying to figure out how not to obey. And I hear this voice going, do you want to obey or not? You know, I know that voice. So anyway, I thought the only way I can do it is climb over seats. Well, that's not unusual for this place. You know, that's kind of mild for this place. So I just asked everybody to just scoot over and let me climb over the seats. I went right back to that lady, and I looked her right in the eye, and I said, Father loves you. And he told me, out of all 10,000 people now in this room, he sent me here to tell you he loves you. And then I just walked back across, and I sat down. She had no idea who I was until until the next night, whenever my husband got up to speak. And so a couple of nights into it, you know how we always have testimonies. Testimonies are wonderful. Well, this gal gives her testimony. And she's up there, and she goes, this was it for me. This was it. I came to this place because I heard that there was a God, and he changed lives. And I was going to leave this place, and I was going to kill myself, maybe kill my husband, but you know, leave my family devastated. And I told God, I said, God, if you are real, then show me tonight, and I won't kill myself. But if I don't get something tonight, I'm going to kill myself. She's up testifying about this thing. And then she said, and she goes, all of a sudden, I see this woman climbing over pews, and I think she's crazy. And I'm wondering, she goes, I'm disgusted with the fact that she's climbing over pews. And then she comes to me. And she looks me right in the face, and she goes, Father sent me. He could have sent me to any of the 12,000 people in this room. But he told me to come to you and tell you, I love you. She goes, it saved my life. She goes, I'm going home, and I'm going to work on my marriage, and I'm going to work on my family. Just one person. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of lives like that. But the reason I'm telling you the story is because I chose to believe that that was the voice of the Lord and that he wanted me to go and speak to that woman so that her life would be changed. Destiny is what I'm talking about. You guys are filled with destiny. You know, feel it. I mean, just close your eyes for just a minute. And think about you. Think about your purpose. Think about your plan. Think about your destiny. Think about your circumstances and your situation. Father loves you. And if you guys could turn on my PowerPoint, please. Father loves you in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your crises. Father loves you. He really and truly does love you. And in the midst of our crises, some of you may be saying, Trisha, how can you stand up there in your situation and believe this? Because when crises hit our home, Jack traveled all over the world. When we received this revelation of love, I knew it was real because it came to my house first. Any time in the past when Jack had received a revelation, he went to your church and preached it and got you healed up, and we were a mess. And I finally got tired of it. You know, I just got tired of Jack giving to the world what was rightfully mine. My family first. Healing for us. That's not selfish, folks. That's the way God set it up. Your family first, and then take it to the world. And I believe that all the doors that have been opened up for us is because Jack brought this revelation of love home to us first. And it changed our image. And so then Jack starts traveling all over the world, and I bless him now. I can bless him because he always comes home more whole than when he left. And that's amazing. Because he became what he believed about himself. He believed that he was a loved child of God. And so this world-renowned speaker dies. Crises hit our home. Now, I could stand up here and be all mad at Jack, or I can step back and take a look at my situation and my destiny. Because here's the deal. Even though we were one, I'm still an individual. I still have a plan. I still have a purpose. And life, and so I had to make some choices and decisions. Ouch, that hurt, didn't it? I heard it all the way up here. So anyway, life after crises, I had some choices to make. And life after crises will define what you believe in, and that will become who you are. Did you hear that? Life after a major crisis will determine, will define what you believe in, and that definition will determine who you are and what you'll become. So I had to make some choices after Jack died. But I want to tell you a story about a dream I had. And guys, I'm at home here right now, so I love to tell stories. I feel like Jesus told stories, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Right after Jack died, I had a dream. And Jack and I loved to go outside. I mean, most of our vacations were planned outside. But I had this dream, and Jack and I had gone to this fishing camp because we love to fish. And so we had rented these canoes, and Jack had packed, he was such a romantic, and he had packed this beautiful picnic lunch, put it in a canoe. We got in the canoe. We canoed across this beautiful big lake. And we got to the other side of the lake, we had our picnic, and all of a sudden we heard these emergency sirens. And we looked up and across the lake, there were ambulances, there were people standing on the bank, they were jumping up and down screaming, hollering. We didn't know what was going on. And so Jack goes, let's pack up, let's get everything back in the canoe, we need to head back over there and see if we can help. So we did. Jack got everything packed back up in the canoe. And we got, you know, I just went back to finish up everything, and Jack got in the canoe and pushed the canoe off from the bank just far enough so I couldn't get in it. And I'm sitting there going, bring the canoe back. He goes, no. And I go, Jack, bring the canoe back. I can't get in. He goes, you got to swim. And I go, well, you know, I'm not a very good swimmer. He goes, it doesn't matter. If you want to get back over to the other side of the lake, because there was no walking back, you had to go back by way of canoe or swim to get back to the other side of the lake. So I jump in the lake, and I am so mad at Jack, honestly. If this were not a dream, he really would be dead. Because I would have killed him. And you know how when you're angry and you have to do something in anger, and I'm swimming, and I come up to breathe and probably say an ugly word at him, come back and swim some more, and I keep trying to get in the boat, and he keeps the boat just far enough away, but yet the boat is still there. The canoe is still there. And so we finally get, well, we're about halfway across the lake, and all of a sudden, I go down to take a breath, And underneath the lake there is this little boy, and he is tangled in all these vines from underneath the lake. And he is wrapped so in the vines, and he's drowning. And you know what mothers do. As soon as I saw him, I dove down inside the lake, and I cut that little boy free. And I brought him up, and he took his last breath. I mean, it was like, or he was going to die. And I put him underneath my arm. Now, I can't swim very good, but I knew everything to do. And I got that little child back to shore. What do you think the emergency was about? That little boy. And so I woke up, and I asked the Lord. I said, what was that all about? He said, Tricia, here's the deal. He goes, if you can choose not to continue, but bottom line, there's a bunch of little boys drowning. There's a bunch of little girls drowning. And if you will choose to live your destiny, I will equip you with everything you need to cut them free and take them to safety. What are you going to do with that? Isn't that a great dream? So after the death of Jack, I had lots of choices to make. And let me say this right here. So many people did so many wonderful things. I mean, again, he was an international speaker. I never go a day that I probably don't get, and I mean, he's been dead 4.5 years, that I probably don't get an email of a life, not just, oh, I read your book and it was good. My life was changed. My family was changed. I am amazed at how one life can affect, or one family can affect so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people's lives, but it did. And there was another man, and his name was Jesus Christ. And look at the lives he affected. And I want to say to you tonight, one life can rock a world. One life submitted to love can rock a whole world. But there are times when we begin to think, I can't do that. Well, I'm not you. I'm not Jack. I'm not Steve or Sandra. I could never do these things. Yes, you can. Yes, you absolutely can, submitted to love. So a lot of people did a lot of wonderful things because Jack was such a renowned speaker. And one of the things that happened was you guys sent your pastor, and he came and he prayed for us. This is a busy family. You know what I mean? They're all over the world. But you remember that, Steve? The day you sat at Jack's feet and he was so sick, and he prayed for us. Not only did he just come and pray and say, oh, God bless you, but he bought a check of several $1,000s for my medical bills. That's the church. That's the church being the church. And another very kind thing. Yeah, you can, a couple of you went to applaud. You can applaud that. That's honor. That's amazing honor. And thank you forever for that. Other people did some wonderful things. And somebody, you guys know Bill and Benny Johnson? Y'all familiar with Bill, I'm sure, in this house. Well, anyway, Bill and Benny did the same thing. They flew teams to my house, and they did a lot of wonderful things. But the one thing they did is before Bill's book, Strengthen Yourself in the Lord, if you haven't read that book, get it. Give it to anybody who's lost a mate or has any type of sorrow. Bill sent us that book before it was ever even published, and he had a little note in it, and he said, Tricia, you've got some choices to make. I hope you'll make the choices of courage that this book talks about. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow. Because he was right. I did have some choices to make. I could choose to take my retirement. Jack left me a nice insurance check. His mother left us a beautiful home that we live in now. I could take my money or whatever and retire and be just a widow sitting at home just loving her grandkids. Now, that would be enough. You'd have to meet my grandbabies. You just met one of them, Emma Ruth Hobart Crew. You know, we don't know what happened there. I mean, that's literally her hair standing up. I think she saw an angel. You know, and the angel was probably telling her, Emma, you know what, girl? Here's what you're going to become. And she was like, wow. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. I believe in stuff like that. So anyway, I got that book from Bill, and I thought, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be normal. Because how many of you have read the story about the master and his servants? And in Matthew 25:26, have you read that story about the one servant had 5 talents? He took those talents and he invested them well. And what happened to him? Got 5 more. And then the one with 3 They got three more. But then there was a little dude with one talent. And he was so afraid of the master, he buried his talent in the ground. And when the master came back, the master was angry at him because he told him, he said, listen, here's the deal. To live cautiously and put your one talent in the ground is criminal. Matthew 25:26. It is criminal to live a cautious lifestyle. And some of us have been sitting back in our comfort zone. And I said earlier, it's not always comfortable. You know, being comfortable is not always comfortable. And I just thought to myself, that is a boring lifestyle. That is a terrible, terrible way to live. And so as I picked up that book and I began to read the book, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua. And I know this is a long passage, but I'm going to read it tonight because the Word of God comes alive. And so anyway, with Bill and Benny's encouragement, I read the scripture, I read the book, Strengthen Yourself in the Lord, and I made the choices that this talks about. And listen, after the death of Moses, the servant of God... Oh, I'm sorry, Joshua 1:1-9. Joshua 1:1-9. And it's a very familiar passage for some of you, but it just wasn't that familiar to me at that time in my life. After the death of Moses, Jack, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Trisha, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people, your team. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land that your foot steps on. This is the Message translation too. Just as I promised Moses, every square inch of your destiny has been promised to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon east to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the great sea, it's all yours. Say, it's all mine. It's all yours. In the same way I was with Moses, Jack, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage, you are going to lead this people to inherit the land that I have promised to give their ancestors. And there's a lot more there, but I'm going to skip down now to verse 9. Then, haven't I commanded you? Strength, courage, don't be timid, don't get discouraged. God your God is with you every step of the way. God your God is with you in your crises, in your situation. Why? Because he's a loving father. So often we've taken the image of who Father God, and we talked about that last night, that Father God is an angry God. No, he's not. But I grew up in a church, a religious church, that said he was. And it said that you had all these things that you had to do in order to keep your salvation. But God is not an angry God, and God did not kill Jack. Let me say that right up front. God did not kill Jack. He does not kill people. And you know what? The devil wasn't powerful enough. There were hundreds of thousands of people praying for his healing. The devil couldn't have taken him out. So what happened? He got adenocarcinoma with a chest cavity, and he died. Period. I don't have a direct answer for anything else, but I do know that my father would never do that to me. But I believed after Jack's death that I was his replacement. You know, I'm not Jack's replacement. Instead of embracing the words that have been spoken over me, words from all over the world, and I want to share some of these words with you right now. I went out to California. Right, I have a child that works for Bill Johnson. He's his maintenance manager. Been his maintenance manager for 5 years, one of the maintenance managers for 5 years. Joshua had rather do maintenance in a house of love than to get in the world and make hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's just so happy and content there. So I go out every year, and I spend a month out there to be with my son and his wife and my granddaughter, and I just love going out there. And so I'm out there one of these times, you know, and they tell me, go get prayed for. And I'm going, yeah, I should do that, right? I should really go get prayed for. Duh. And they've got this beautiful house of prayer, and they're going, you should go over and get prayed for. And I'm going, well, is Bill and Benny going to meet me over there? Are they going to pray for me? Don't they know who I am? You know? I want the big guys. I want the big guns to be praying for me. You know, and God's saying, go and get prayed for. And so then all of a sudden, they take me over to this building where they make resources. And they're going to pray for me. And I'm a little ticked. I am. I want the big, I want Steve and Sandra to pray for me. I want Bill and Benny to pray for me. And so they go over there and they take me to the employees. And they pray for me. It was the best prayer I think I have gotten since Jack died. And so while they're praying over me, they give me this word. And this one lady told me, she goes, Trisha, I mean, good words. How many of you like good words? I love a good word, especially from somebody I can trust. And I trusted this house. Even though I didn't know them, I trusted the house. And so we're standing there, and this lady looks at me, and she goes, Trisha, I see you like a mother elephant. Who wants that word? A mother elephant. What is she talking about? And I'm sitting there trying not to get angry because I've got a stupid word. And she goes, mother elephants. I didn't know this. Mother elephants stomp the ground until the water comes up to feed their thirsty babies. You know what my name Trisha means? Thirsty. Isn't that amazing? I look for this kind of stuff now. This stuff encourages you. This stuff will cause you to walk into your destiny. So I go from there and I go to Catch the Fire Raleigh. And I'm there doing a ladies retreat at Catch the Fire Raleigh. Wonderful, amazing church. Duncan Smith, you guys remember Duncan and Kate? Wow, great, great people. So I'm there doing a ladies retreat, Women Ablaze, I think it was. And one of the pastor's wives come up to me, Carlos, Catherine Rodriguez, yeah. She comes up to me and she goes, I got a word for you. Is that okay? And I go, yeah, yeah, great word. And she goes, Father wants you to know that he sees you like a huge bison bull. Mother elephant, bison bull. You know what? I'm just like, God, why? Why not a beautiful princess? You know? Why not? I like the beautiful princess kind of a stuff. And she goes, but I hear this because you're so tenacious. You're like a bison bull because you're so tenacious. But then she goes, Father wants you to hear this too, Trisha. And she sang this song over me. And the song was, and you guys don't have to sing it with me. You are my sunshine, my... Please don't take my sunshine away. Wow, you guys should join the worship team. And she sang that over me, and I'm still wondering, though, but why, Father? Why a bison bull? And then he gives me this scripture in Psalms, and I love it. Psalms 92, 10 through 14. Because if God's going to give you a word, he'll confirm it with his word. You know, don't just take a word for granted. Don't take a word, but you know what? If it's a word to embrace your destiny, it's amazing. And so Psalms 92, 10 through 14 in the Message says this. And let me back up just for a minute. Not too long ago, now I'm telling you this now, but I want to add something here. Not too long ago, we were having some struggles out at Shiloh Place Ministries. Just a guy from Derek's Prince Ministry stopped by and he said, I see a demonic influence trying to choke the life out of you guys. Can I pray? And we thought, yeah, go ahead and pray. But it was just, it was truth to it. And we couldn't figure out where the open door was. So Doug, my son-in-law, the executive director, he said, you know what? He goes, Benny Johnson is a prayer warrior. She wrote this wonderful book called The Happy Intercessor. If you haven't read it and you're an intercessor, get that book and read it. She said, Trisha, call Benny. And because we have a relationship there, I called Benny. Well, actually, that's not true. I emailed Benny, told her what was going on, and she said, I told her about the destiny. There's been a prophetic word given over the eastern seaboard of the United States from Wilmington to Charleston, that God's glory, the way it landed in Toronto, was going to land there. And so I told Benny that word, and Benny goes, book me a ticket. I'm on the next plane out of here. And so it really took her 3 weeks to get the next plane out. But she came. She came and she prayed over Myrtle Beach area. She did a lot of things there. She came out and prayed over Shiloh Place. But one of the things she did, God told her to release festive angels. Isn't that amazing? You know, here this enemy's trying to strangle the life out of us. That's like death. And God's saying, no, no, I've got joy. You know, I'm not going to let their joy be stolen from, because if the enemy can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. Jesse Duplantis said that. And I believe it with all of my heart. So to go back to Psalms 92, but you've made me strong as a charging bison. Isn't that amazing? But go on. You've honored me with a festive parade. I think that's my festive angels that Benny released over us. The sight of my critics going down is still fresh, the root of my malicious distractors. My ears are filled with the sounds of promise. Good people will prosper like palm trees. Guys, you are good people. If you're his kids, and even if you're not his kids, you're still good people. And he wants you to prosper. You'll grow tall like a Lebanon cedar, transplanted to God's courtyard. They'll grow tall in the presence of God, lithe and green, virile, still strong in old age. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I love words. People, words will define you if they're from people that you can trust. I want you to listen to this word that was given to me by Mark DuPont. You guys know Mark DuPont, right? Okay, I want you to hear this word.
Honor you all. And that, Trish, you are a pioneer. Yeah. And there's a boldness and there's an integrity upon you. And it says, I think, in Psalm 86 that David shepherded Israel, or maybe 68, David shepherded Israel according to the integrity of his heart and the skill of his hands. And the Lord says, he's brought so much skill into your hands, but your true strength is the integrity of your heart. And Trish, in the name of Jesus, we just say, warrior woman, come forth in the name of Jesus.
That's me. Yeah.
Let there be a boldness.
I got it.
Boldness for new ventures.
Yeah.
And I know everybody says this. I don't like using cliches, especially in prophecy, but the Lord says to you, Trish, he's putting the adventure back into venture. He's putting the adventure back into venture.
Wow.
And Father, I just
isn't that an amazing word? You know, a boldness is coming upon me. Man, years ago, I remember the first time I came here, I was so scared to death of this place. It wasn't you guys. It was just the presence of God was so thick here that it scared me. It really scared me. I was known as Little Miss Much Afraid. Not anymore. That's not who I am today. I'm a warrior woman. I'm a warrior woman that's taken destiny. I didn't just decide to do this one day. This was the power of the Holy Spirit transforming a submitted life, a life that's willing to trust no matter what. And I love this. Adventure means this. Remember, Mark said that he was putting the adventure back in the venture? Adventure means excitement, passion, thrill, enthusiasm, warmth, flurry, commotion, elation. All that's coming back into my venture. My destiny. Guys, it's just, I'm not the only favored child. You guys are his favorite kids, and he has the same thing for you. Venture means to proceed in spite of possible risk or danger. Don't you like that? Don't you want that for your own life, for your personal life? Yeah, I see all these heads going out there. Because Father has all these things that he's waiting to tell you and show you. If you'll just sit and listen. That's why I love the soaking stuff. You know, I love soaking prayers. I love to pray and I love to talk to God. And sometimes God has to say, hush a minute, Trisha. It's really my agenda. And just sit and let him lead. And I like this. Mark said that I was a pioneer. A pioneer is somebody who ventures into unknown territory to claim or settle, leading the way. A pioneer is a trailblazer. You know, I think it's really, really funny that God picked a girl to continue on the message of the Father loves you. Isn't that amazing? He does stuff like that because he's sneaky. You guys have heard of Jehovah Sneaky, right? He is sneaky. But that's okay, because again, I'm submitted to his love. Well, let me just give you this one more word I got, and then we're going to go on into some deeper things. Listen, I'm not real deep. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm the type of person, I just want to live him. I want to be in his presence. I enjoy studying the word. I don't have to read my Bible anymore. I don't have to pray. I don't have to do any of those shoulda things. All I have to do is just position myself to love him. To love him. And he takes me into places that just amaze me. So this past year we were out in North Dakota. Cold there, even in the summertime. Not a place I want to. Thank God that he's got me in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I'm just so happy to be there. Somebody had to do it. So anyway, we go to North Dakota, and instead of going to a church, now my executive director books my meetings, and I had no idea what he was booking me into, and half the time I don't until I get there. And he booked me into a bunch of doctors, medical professional people, nurses, technicians. Those are smart people. I'm talking real smart people. And so I'm thinking, why would you do that? And because here's a group of doctors and nurses and medical technicians who want to experience the presence. They are all in denominational churches. And so they bring us out there to just present the message of Father's love. And help them understand a better image of who Father God is. So we had a wonderful time out there. And they were wanting to start a church. And I said, no, don't start a church. Go back to your church and love people there. You don't need another Father Loves You church. Just go infiltrate these denominational churches. Love the heck out of people. You know, and just be lovers there. So anyway, the worship leader comes over to me. And he looks right at me and he goes, can I hold your leg? I'm going, what? He goes, I want to hold your leg. And I'm going, well, why do you argue with God again? Why do you want to hold my leg? And he goes, I'll tell you if you let me hold your leg. Well, it's a good thing I had shaved my legs that day. Thank you, Jesus, that I had done that. So anyway, I stick my leg up there. And he holds my leg and he pulls it up. Can I hold your leg, Sandra? Did you shave your legs today? Oh, good. Okay. Yep. They feel pretty good. Okay. So he's got my leg up there, and he's going, Trisha, Father wants you to know that he's reshoeing you. And I go, why? And he goes, because Father sees you like a big horse. Put it down. Thank you. Doggone it. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, the shoes that you have on won't carry you into the destiny that I have planned for you. Isn't that another great word? And you know, I've had other words. You know, I'm a mother cow. I'm bringing nurture to the world. You know, but here's the deal. That was the one I hated the worst, the mother cow thing. You have to get me privately, and I'll tell you the details of that one. But what are you listening to? Because what you give your ears to eventually gets into your heart and becomes your destiny. Words are directional. What you give your ears to will get into your heart. And it'll become your destiny. And see, I had all these people telling me, well, Trisha, take the money and run. And if I had could see in the future some of the stuff I've had to do and walk into, I might have done that. But I felt like I had people from all over the world call me and tell me, don't do it. Don't turn the ministry over to somebody else. God has a plan. He has a plan for you being at the helm of the ministry, because I would have gladly released the ministry to somebody else. I didn't feel capable. You know, I'm not Jack. I'm not 6'5". I don't run around and sit in people's laps, and I'm not going to start today. I'm just not. That is not who I am. But I tell you what, here's the deal, and I'm going to illustrate this to you guys. I had to embrace change. And as I begin to embrace change so I can walk in my destiny, let me say this right now. Jack Frost will always be the foundation of Shiloh Place Ministries as long as I'm at the head of this ministry. He left us an amazing foundation that changed our life. That will never change. But I'm still not Jack. Now, I wish I was about 6 foot tall, but I'm not. I was just picked before I was ripe. That's just the deal. That's why I'm so short. But anyway, I'm not Jack. And so I had to embrace change in order for me to walk in my destiny. And as I began to embrace change, guess what I heard? A bunch of orphans. a bunch of people who didn't feel like they have a place of belonging, a bunch of people, and we're going to talk about the orphan heart tomorrow, so be there. It's going to be amazing. It might help you understand why some of you can't get this revelation of love, Father's love. So anyway, I started doing things just a little bit differently. And what do you think I heard? Come on, you guys know that. Well, Jack didn't do it that way. You know, you ever hear that, Steve? Well, John didn't do it that way. You know what? Well, here's the deal. I'm not Jack. And let me show you what this looks like as we play this out. Steve, can I borrow you? This is Jack's coat. He wore it here many times. Okay. Can I borrow your shoes? I know these are brand new shoes, and let me wipe my feet off a little bit because my feet might be sweating. So let me just do that. Oh, Sandra, I'm not going to ruin his good shoes. Okay, here's the deal. Jack wore the same size shoe, I think, that Steve does. Now, if I'm trying to be Jack, this is so uncomfortable. I'm not Jack. I'm never going to be Jack. See, put my shoes on. Come on, No, put them on. I'm serious. Put them on. Just slip your foot in. Just slip your foot in them. They'll stretch out. Just put your foot in them. Come on, we'll walk together. Okay, come on, Steve. Go with me. Come on. I'm not Jack. He's not Trisha. We have our own mantle. Thank you. I'll trade back with you now. You see how ridiculous that looks when you try to walk in somebody else's mantle or anointing? You will never become, I don't want to lose that. You will never, I'll take mine back and you can have yours back. You will never become what God has destined you to be. And it looks utterly ridiculous. Listen. People ask me all the time, would you pray for me to have your mantle? No, I need it. I'm not done with it. I won't pray that prayer with you. But what I will pray is for an impartation for you to walk in your destiny. I will pray for an impartation of courage, of strength, of Joshua 1:9 over you. Only if you're willing to embrace change. A friend of mine, Doug Merle, said this, change is in the air because the pain of staying the same is more than I can bear. I'm going to repeat that. Change is in the air, guys. It's in the air. Sniff it. Breathe it. It's there. You're not going to look the same a year from now. Change is in the air because the pain of staying the same is more than you can bear. But the sad thing is that the only change that we see in some people are your hair color and your waist size. And that's all we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to meddle. Okay, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 9, because here's where we're going tonight. Matthew 9. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, "Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us." And when Jesus got home, the blind men went with him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you really believe that I can do this?" The blind men want their sight. They just want their sight. And they said, "Well, yes, Master, we do." And Jesus said, well, he didn't say anything. He touched their eyes and said, "Become what you believe." And it's simple. It happened. They were healed of their sight because they believed that he could heal them and that they could become men of sight again. And I'm saying to you guys tonight, I have one question for us to ponder. What hinders you from that same simple belief, that same simple thing? Whatever it is you're asking Father God for, you can become it if you will believe it. And if you're not, if you're having problems believing it, then ask Father God to show you what are the hindrances that keep us from walking in that level of faith. Because I believe this one thing. I believe my shadow should heal people. That's not pride. I believe that that's what God intended. And you know what? The more I choose destiny, the more I choose to walk in faith, the more I'm seeing that happen. I was back in Catch the Fire Raleigh. They had some meetings there with Bobby Connor, and I just went to go to meetings. I wanted to be filled up. And so I'm leaving those meetings just so excited, on fire from God. And I walk by these church leaders out of New Bethel there, and I just walk by them. And they all fell out. Well, I thought they were just cutting up, so I go over there, just thinking that they're just picking. And they're going, "No, Trisha, stop, stop, we can't stand up." Literally, my walking by them cleared the whole area. Isn't that great? I'm serious. This is a true story. Ask Duncan and Kate. Ask Matt. That really happened. My shadow just wiped out the whole place, my presence. Why is that? Because I carry the presence of the living God. He's in me. Do it again. Come on. Come on. I believe it. I believe it. And I'm becoming all kinds of wonderful things. Some things are a little weird. I've been to Toronto. It doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't matter. Why not? Why not? But I believe the greatest hindrance that most of us walk in is the fear of man. You fear what man thinks about you. The one thing I admire about John and Carol and Sandra and Steve and the other leaders here, there were a lot of people talking about them, and especially behind their backs. They didn't care. All they cared about was walk in God's love. Give it away. Walk in God's love and give it away. When people tried to talk to me about that, I would look them right in the eye and I'd go, "Have you saved 1 million people in the last 3 or 4 years? That shut people up really, really fast. Judge something by the fruit. They didn't fear man, but sad to say, I do sometimes. How many of you guys have ever dealt with the fear of man? Yeah. And so, right after Jack died, my friend, you guys got girlfriends? You girls out there, y'all have girlfriends? You guys got guy friends? You have one girlfriend. That's good. That's about the only one you need. But anyway, so I have these girlfriends, and one of my girlfriends, very close friend, you guys remember Roger Gosnell, the guy that led the guy that killed his son, he led him to the Lord? His wife had a dream about me right after Jack died. And she said, "Trisha," I mean, her dream was she saw me in these bright colored outfits. I don't know where she got that from. But she saw me in these brightly colored outfits. And she said that people started talking about me behind my back. All my old spiritual leaders in this dream were talking about me, and they were saying, "Well, she's not doing things the way Jack did things." And they were making all these comments, and they were just really putting me on the blacklist. You know, well, we're not going to help her. We're not going to have her in our churches. We're not going to honor. We're not going to anything for her. And so when she woke up, she called. I have a group of girls. We go to the beach every year, and she called every one of them. She said, "I want us to gather together, and we are going to pray. We are going to pray over her, and I want us to pray protection around her from what men are saying about her." Now, Pat didn't understand this one thing. At that time, it really and truly didn't matter to me. I had lost the most precious possession of my life at that time, next to Jesus Christ. I really didn't care what men said. I was trying to figure it out. But Pat didn't realize that earlier, years and years prior to that, the Bible, I think, says first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Doesn't it say that somewhere? About 15 years ago, when we were just really starting out with Shiloh Place, you know how that is. When you're starting a ministry, you don't really have a lot of stuff. You know, you just don't have. So I loved it. Women would give me clothes. Have you ever been in that place where you just, when people would give you something, it was the most amazing thing in the world? So people would give me clothes. And this lady one time, she wore Liz Claiborne's. That was real popular back, you know, 20 years ago. She wore Liz Claiborne things, and she would give me these wonderful things. And one time, she gave me this beautiful pantsuit. Now, I had to go to a pastor's conference, and I didn't have anything to wear. And I was praying. I literally had to pray things in. Still do, but I'm talking about clothes, bread money, milk money. We had to pray a lot of that in. So I was asking God to give me an outfit to go to this pastor's conference with. And so this beautiful Liz Claiborne pantsuit comes in. The only problem was the lady was 5'9". I'm only 5'2". And so she, but I still had this big, beautiful pantsuit. Remember how the big shoulder pads and all that? Well, it was bright orange, just like this, but it was a solid orange, and I could sew. So, baby, I hemmed that thing up, and I got me a little shell, you know, and I put that thing on, trying it on, and I thought I was God's gift to the world. I was beautiful that day. I really was. And so I'm working with it and just trying to finish stitching it up, and then I made the wrong hand movement and cut it about that much too short. Man, that's a $200 pantsuit. Maybe $300 a day. Who knows? But $200, and I'm sitting there thinking, what am I going to do with it? Now, remember, 20 years ago, there's no capris, right? But I got the idea. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to cut that thing off to my middle of my calf. I'm going to hem that up. I'm going to go with my big, beautiful shoulder pads. And I'm going to take off. And I'm going to go to this pastor's conference. And I'm going to be the best looking thing there. So I do that. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm becoming what I believe. Until I go in the bathroom. And there are two other pastor's wives. And they don't know I'm there. And what do you think they're talking about? What a God-awful, ugly, gaudy pantsuit that Trisha's got on. And did you see what she did? She's wearing pants halfway her calf. Who ever thought about that? Wow, but the deal was, is that hurt me so bad. I got Jack, and we left, and we went home. I took that pantsuit, and I threw it in the trash. Now, why do you think I did that? The fear of man. I allowed the fear of man to cause me to abdicate my position as the inventor of capris. I could be a millionaire. Seriously, I could be a millionaire today. How many of you ladies have got on capris? See? I invented it. And so we allow the fear of man. And you know, when we go back to that scripture, and Jesus was standing, if Jesus was standing right here, if he were right here, what do you believe that you could ask him for that would cause you to become your destiny, that would cause you to step into your destiny? Because Matthew 9 says, then later he says that he looked out over the crowds and his heart was broke. Why was Jesus' heart broke? Because he saw this whole group of people and they looked confused and they were walking around aimlessly without a shepherd. So many sheep, but there's not enough shepherds. So many sons, but there's not enough spiritual fathers. People, guys stepping into their destiny. Guys of courage making the choice to say, no matter what, I'm gonna embrace healing. John Arnott did it here. Steve and Sandra have done it here. My husband Jack have done it here. When you die and go to heaven, and please don't receive any condemnation, but don't you want the legacy that's gonna be waiting on you there to be so that it can't even you can't even see the end of the line? Wouldn't that be amazing? Why? So that you can be all special? No. So that this person doesn't go to hell. So that this person lives their destiny. So that this person actually can become who they believe. And so there's not enough guides. Shepherd means guides. Guide means to model the way. Jesus modeled the way through sonship. And here's the deal for me. Jesus was a good person. But Jesus is God, could heal everybody of everything. But you got to remember, on this earth, he was a son. On this earth, he was a man. He was flesh. And he only did the things on this earth, John 5:19, that he saw his father doing. What is his father doing? What is God doing today? He is restoring. The father I know today is restoring the hearts of the fathers back to the kids, and the kids, the children's hearts, back to the fathers. We're living in this day. We're living in this hour, and we have seen so much revelation of the Father's love. It's amazing, but I think we've stepped over into the next part of that. The sons' hearts are coming home, but they're only going to come home. to a home, to a place of rest, to a real, real daddy. And Jesus has left us the example in Mark 16 to become more. Jesus said, greater things, greater things. You are destined to become what you believe, because what you believe determines who you will become, how fast you grow, your destiny, your effectiveness, and your outcome. When Micah was a little boy, I don't know how long I've gone. When Micah was a little boy, my oldest son, he's 31, 2 now. When he was a little boy, he had a dream. And his dream was to be Dale Murphy. You guys remember who Dale Murphy was? He was a baseball player. Good, you win. You give him a piece of candy. He wins tonight. But anyway, Dale Murphy was this awesome baseball player, and I think he broke every record in Atlanta Braves history. And my son idolized him to the point that when Micah was 5 years old, we couldn't afford to buy him a baseball outfit. So he would take his blue jeans and stuff them inside a pair of tube socks. Remember the tube socks with the two little things? And he would walk around. He was Dale Murphy. And not only was he Dale Murphy, the greatest baseball sports person ever, but he influenced all of his little friends in childcare to do the same thing. So all these little boys are walking around, and they're all Dale Murphy. But the amazing thing about that is that Micah grew up with this love of sports. He always wanted to be a golf pro. He always planned for his life to become what he believed. He believed he could be an awesome sports person. And so he went to college, and what do you think he took in college? Golf management, golf greens, golf anything, as long as it's golf pro, how to be whatever. And he took that, and he graduated with a degree in business management, though. And the reason he did that is because he thought he could become something, and he surrounded himself with people that would dream with him. But the sad thing was is that he never could pass the PGA little card that you have to get. And so Micah settled for being a business administrator for our company. Well, he was never happy there. And so he finally, out of his unhappiness, why do you think he was so unhappy? He wasn't living his destiny. He wasn't living his dream. And so anyway, he left us and he became a state trooper for the money. Really, it's a good job. He's got a family now. And so he becomes a state trooper in the state of South Carolina. And the first year that Micah's a state trooper, he's the most highly decorated trooper in our county. If you come to my county, don't speed. He will get you. He doesn't have grace for speeders. But anyway, he thought he had lost his dream. Well, the state trooper colonel for our state found out that Micah used to be a golf pro. And this is something we didn't know. All the states, they have competitions. They have these golf teams. And so every state, they compete against each other. So they went and sought out Micah, and they invited Micah to come and join their golf team. And they have gone from last place, they're not first place, but they have climbed up the ladder because they have my son on their team. So not only is my son living, he was made to be a trooper. I mean, he just is that guy of justice. Not only is he living his dream, but he can play golf at the same time. He became what he believed. And he told me the other day, he goes, Mom, he goes, I had a vision. I had a dream. You know, we've heard that from a wonderful American years and years and years ago. I have a dream. I have a dream. And I want to fulfill my dream. And Micah surrounded himself with people. You know, when you don't live your destiny, you influence the generation beneath you. Bill Johnson says that our ceiling should be their floor. I want to finish the race good. Why? Because I want you to say good things about me when I die 10 years from now, or I mean 10 years after I'm dead, let me say that. You know what? You're going to say good things about me anyway. But I want my children to live their destiny. I want your children to live their destiny because I lived. And it's only going to happen when we become what we believe, because this generation has become a slumbering generation. You guys see wonderful things in your church, but when you go out on the streets, and I know that you guys do this as a church, you see devastation because it's become a slumbering generation. Why? I've asked people this before. Because kids in the next generation, they want the real deal. They're not after the wannabe cool Christianity club or any of that. They want the real deal. They want the real deal who will become real dads, who will lay down their life, walk in God's love, and give it away to the world. How do I know this? My daughter used to live out in California, and at Bill's church, they have a lot of big-name speakers out there. And you know the sweet thing about going through what we go through? We know a lot of these wonderful people. That's not pride. That's just an amazing thing that we get to meet a lot of people. So my daughter's out there, and one of these big-name speakers come through, and if I told you his name, you would know him. It wasn't John Arnott, by the way. You would know him. And so Sarah's in line. You'd have to know my daughter, Sarah. She's in line to be prayed for. She wants the real deal. She really wants God to heal her of her grief. Ever since Jack died, she's been mad at God. Now, God has healed her. That's another story for another day. But this guy's praying for her, this big speaker. Can I touch you on the head? And he comes by Sarah, and he's like, and Sarah's like, I ain't moving. She will not take a courtesy call for anybody. And so she finally got tired of it because she's feeling nothing coming off of him. Really and truly, there was nothing the matter with that big name speaker. I'm sure he does wonderful things. But for that moment in time, pushing my daughter down was not going to help the situation. She grabs his hand from off her head. She takes it down. She looks at him right in the eye. Now, this guy knows us. And she says, if pushing me down makes you feel good about your ministry, you need to sit down. That has gotten around the circuit just a little bit. Surprised you guys hadn't heard about it yet. And so I'm shocked. But why? She wants the real deal. This is a generation who is a conquering generation. And they want to become what they can believe, but that's only going to happen when the fathers are in the house. Now that, what I've been saying to you tonight, become what you believe, sounds kind of like the old faith message, doesn't it? But it's not the old faith message, because the old faith message says name it, claim it. It gives no room for heart issues. This message says deal with your heart. Deal with your heart. Deal with your hindrances. Deal with your orphan thinking. Deal with your image of who Father God is so you can become what you believe. Because the Bible says, as a man believes in his heart, so is he. As a man believes in his heart, so is he. And after Jack died, God asked me the same question that he asked Solomon. He goes, Tricia, what do you want from me? And I thought about that. And I said, I want the same thing you gave Solomon. And in Kings, it talks about everything that God, that Father gave Solomon. Because Solomon asked him for one thing and one thing only. Give me a heart to rightly judge your people. Give me a heart to lead your people. That's all I want. And because Solomon only asked for that, guess what else he got? He got everything else. Words are directional. What have you believed? What has been spoken over you? Can you identify it? Can you deal with it? Because here's a good series right here. This series here, get it out of the bookstore first, but if they run out, you can call our ministry and get it. Breaking Free will help you understand the destructive habit patterns that you have formed, and it will walk you through how to deal with them so that you can remove the hindrances that hinder you from becoming what you believe. So what's been spoken over you? Are we okay still? I got one more story, and then I got a surprise for you, okay? What's been spoken over you? I have 5 grandkids. I love every one of them. But my oldest grandchild, whenever my son married his wife today, Majesta, she's our bookkeeper, she is the most changed person I've ever met since Jack Frost. I am amazed at how this woman has changed. But anyway, before Jesus days, she got into some stuff, and she got pregnant, and she had Journey. And you know what? Journey's not a mistake. Journey is a wonderful gift to our life. But anyway, so whenever my son met her, and they began to date, and they got married, well, we embraced Journey as our own. She is not an orphan. She's my granddaughter, first grandchild, and she's been given all rights as the first grandchild. Well, she, in order to bond with Journey, she began to come over and spend the weekend at Nana's house. And when she was over at Nana's house, what's a Nana to do? A Nana's going to just say all kinds of wonderful things about her. So she would come, and she would spend Thursday through Sunday at Nana's house, and Micah Modesta would go off and have a wonderful time. And I would put her in the bathtub, and I would say all these wonderful things over Journey. Oh, Journey, you're just amazing. Journey, you're just this. But one of the things that Journey would do, because she didn't know us real well, she would, Your kids ever done that to you? No matter what you say to them, You know, that's what we, and I kept getting the umps. So I told her, I said, you know what, Journey? You're kind. You're kind. I mean, this went on and on and on, and I began to speak other things over her, but it took a while for me to break through the heart of that hurt little abandoned, wounded little girl who didn't even understand why she was so wounded, to finally she began to believe it. And we put her in child care, in a Christian daycare, when she was 3 years old. And I continued to do this. We continued to have our weekends together. So from 1 to 3, I'm speaking these words over her, because a grandmother's words are directional. A grandmother's words, you guys know that. What you say over your child will eventually end up as a part of their destiny. If you say they'll never finish anything, guess what? They'll grow up, and they'll probably not finish things. If you say they're stupid, if they're dumb, whatever, they'll grow up probably to become clumsy. And they'll have all this stuff to deal with it. Is it your fault? Kind of, sort of. Don't blame yourself. It's their fault for how they responded to you. But still, words are so directional. And so, finally, Journey gets it. 2 years later, she gets it. And I'm speaking over her. She's over at my house, and she's 3 now, and I'm going, Journey, you are so beautiful. You're just a wonderful and amazing young woman. You're going to grow up in this and that, and you are kind. I always ended it with, you are kind. And she looked at me one day, and she, right smack dab, she's 3 years old, and she goes, Nana, for goodness sakes, I know that. And then she goes on to say, Psalms 139. And I'm going, what? She goes, God made me in a wonderful way. I already know that. Done. You know, but she became kind. And the deal is that she continued to walk in this kindness, and then other children begin to see it. See, when we pick up our destiny, when we pick up our purpose, and when we pick up and we deal with our negative behavior, people around us are going to see it. And they're going to want to become what you are. And that's what happened with this whole revelation of Father's love with my husband, Jack. He finally got a hold of something that so changed him that the world saw it and began to come to him for revelation. Isn't that amazing? One man can rock a world. One submitted life can rock a world. So how did this play out with Journey? Journey finally goes up. Grows up. She's in kindergarten now. She goes to kindergarten, and she's got this little girl. She's got this little girl in her class, and the little girl, can I thump you in the head? Is that okay? This little girl walks up to her and is that annoying?
Yeah, it's annoying.
And if I keep doing it, is it still annoying?
I'll slap you.
This little girl kept thumping Journey in the head, and Journey come home and told us about it, and you know, grandmothers are ready to fight when you mess with our youngins. And so we told her, we said, you go to school and you tell your teacher, or we'll call that mother, or we'll go and we'll deal with that girl ourselves. And Journey goes, oh, please don't. Y'all stop. So she went back to school, and a couple days went by, and we never heard anything more about it. And so finally we thought to ask Journey, Journey, whatever happened to the little girl that was thumping you in the head? And did you find out why you were thumping, why she was thumping you? And Journey goes, oh, yeah. And we go, well, what was she doing? How'd you find out? And she goes, well, I asked her. Why are you thumping me in the head? And the little girl told her, because I need a friend, and I see that you are kind. Now, she's only 4 years old when this is going on. And people come to her. Her teacher told us in kindergarten, first grade, now in second grade, she's the kindest girl in my class. And they use the word kind. She's the kindest kid in my class. Words are directional. They will influence you to become what Father God wants you to be. Because here's the deal. You're either living in a state of survival or you're living in a state of revival. Survival means to tolerate, to endure. Revival means to set into motion. I am setting into motion my destiny, the destiny of my children, and the destiny of my grandkids first, and then the destiny of the world. Thousands of people have come to our ministry even since Jack has passed. Do we miss Jack? Oh, my God. I wouldn't bring him back, though. I wouldn't pull him out of heaven. But, yeah, we miss him. But I've made choices to do what Father is telling me to do, and I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. And here's the deal. My little kids have dreams and visions and things like that because we encourage it. We don't encourage flaky stuff. You know, if you are a flake in the church, deal with it. And Steve didn't tell me to say that. But it's nothing the matter with being a little weird. There are weird people. And when I'm talking about weird, I'm talking about unique. God made you in a wonderful way. You are unique to live your destiny. And as you live your destiny, you're going to dream dreams. You're going to have visions. I had a vision of Steve tonight. God showed me he was a pillar standing in front of me, and just a white stone pillar. And I'm looking at Steve, and Steve's up there fixing to go on the stage. And I go, God, what is that? He goes, the man is a man of authority. And as much authority. And I go, how much and why? And he goes, the way he's honoring his government tonight, all of that has made him that much of a man in the spiritual realm. So as much as the Prime Minister of Canada is in the natural realm, Steve and Sandra, you guys are that much of a spiritual realm right here. Right here. And I bless you to walk in that. So anyway, my 4-year-old grandson had a dream about me the other night. He goes, Nana, we were having a party. Well, of course. At my festive angels. And he goes, Nana, we were having a party and you were walking up steps. And I go, walking up steps? And he goes, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I go, 4 steps? He goes, no, hush, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I go, 4 more. And he goes, hush, 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. He did that 4 times. And he goes, Nana, you were on those steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I asked the Lord about it. That was all it was. But I asked the Lord about it later. I said, Lord, that 4-year-old had a dream, and he had a dream about me. What does it mean? He goes, Tricia, you continue to be that woman of integrity because you are becoming what I have destined for you. And it has been 4 years, 4 levels of stepping up because I'm becoming what I believe. When you are handed a vision, a destiny, and you embrace that, and you give all you can to that, guess what? It's like the talents. He's going to give you more. He's going to give you more. He's going to give you more, more, more. And we're going to end with this story, and then I want to do a little communion thing with y'all. But my son Micah, the state trooper I was telling you about, he loves being a state trooper. Oh, my gosh, he just absolutely loves it. He fits the part. And so anyway, he's been a good cop. He's been a cop for 4.5 years now. State trooper. He's not a cop. That's police officers. He's a state trooper. He's been a wonderful state trooper. The most highly decorated officer. He's pulled off more DUIs. Thank goodness he's gotten the people driving under the influence off the road. And he's done all these wonderful things. And when you become a trooper, you're given a car. You're given a police car. You're given a Crown Vic that will go about 160 miles an hour tops. Micah wanted a charger. He kept praying. He kept asking God, God, I want a charger. Why? Chargers have more power. And more power. So eventually, guess what? As Micah is faithful with the little, guess what he got about 6 months ago? A charger. And guess what he did with it? The first day out on that charger, he turns in his Crown Vic. He's sitting at the dinner, the lunch table with all of his Crown Vic trooper friends, and he's got the charger, and they get a call. And it wasn't officer, a bank robbery in progress. Now, anytime a trooper gets officer down or guns out, you drop whatever you're doing, and you go. The neat thing was, as they're pulling out of the parking lot, there goes the Crown Vic, the Crown Vic, the Crown Vic. Micah had to pull out behind all of them with his charger. Now, Micah's got more power. And he's in the rear. Could he stand it very long? No. He's been handed more power. He's been faithful with the little. He pulls out from those Crown Vicks, and he just takes off, and he just leaves them in the wind. You know, a Charger will go anywhere from 180 to over 200 miles an hour in the state of South Carolina. He's been given that kind of power because he's been faithful with everything else that he's had. Guys, don't you want to be faithful? Don't you want to be faithful? Do you want more power? I do. You know, that's not pride or greed. I want more power. I want to be so overwhelmed with the power of God that you guys are just going to fall out. Because I'm so powerful? No, because I love. You're going to feel my love, his love in me going into your world. That's encouragement. That's what I do today. That's my destiny, is encourage people to believe that Father God is a loving Father who wants death. He wants you to walk in your destiny. So here's how we're going to end this thing. Can you guys pass that out for me? Would y'all get four or five, the interns? Or is it the ministry team? If everybody will take a bucket, and please, please, just hurry and don't look. Don't be fuddling through it. Just pick a piece of this, and here's what we're going to do. Everybody just grab a piece. And if I don't have quite enough, if you're a couple, would you mind taking just one, and then we'll get to everybody, and if we have more left, we'll come back to you. Can I have my PowerPoint back, please? There we go. So here's what I want to do. Everybody have a piece of chocolate almost? I love communion. You guys believe in communion? But you know what? I'm a fun person. We're going to do communion with chocolate. Because after a meeting like this, you need some chocolate. Yeah, boy. And so what we're going to do now, communion is all about the blood of Jesus Christ causing you to be able to love. And it's all about covenant. And so what we're going to do tonight, some of you guys have made covenant with lies. You have made covenant with words that have been spoken over you, and you have actually become what those words are. And again, tomorrow, we're going to talk about orphan issues and what that's like. And if some of you guys want to come out for that, it will be worth your day, I promise you. Because maybe it might take you to the same place that it took Jack and Trisha Frost. But for tonight, here's what we're going to do. We are going to break covenant with some of the words that we have allowed to be spoken over us. Because, see, some of you guys don't like the package. See those beautiful packages? They're all different. They're all gorgeous, aren't they? And what's inside of them tastes good. But until you actually taste it, you don't believe it. And so we're going to take this tonight, and we are going to break covenant through forgiveness, the lies that have been spoken over to us. Is that okay? Are you guys up for that? Okay. So while everybody got their chocolate? So what I want to do right now is I want you guys to just kind of take the position, bow your heads, kind of close your eyes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Whoa. Thank you, Father. Hurt people produce hurt people, and striving people produce striving people. And we have produced the next generation of orphans becoming what they believe, lies. lies. And Father wants to end that for some of you tonight. And so what I want to do is I want you guys to take your chocolate. It's your piece of covenant. This really and truly represents the blood of Jesus Christ because he loves chocolate, he told me. And there is chocolate in heaven. If there's not, I'm going to take some with me. When I die, y'all fill my my casket up with chocolate. And what we're going to do with this, please, please, I don't in any means, I don't want to make fun of communion. I'm serious about this. But I chose chocolate tonight because some of us absolutely need something festive. Not a yucky wafer. But you need something that tastes good in your life. And so would you take your piece of chocolate and would you pray after me? Would you just pray, Father God, I thank you for what I've heard tonight. And Father, I choose to break covenant with all the lies that I have believed about myself. Father, I am not stupid, dumb. I do finish what I start. And Father, I choose to forgive all those people who have spoken all those words over me. And as an act of covenant tonight, I embrace your blood and I place the cross between me and these words. And I place the cross between me and these people. And I choose to let go and embrace my destiny. In Jesus' name. Enjoy your chocolate. Ralph Waldo Emerson says this. Oh, golly. What a way to end. This is so good. Ralph Waldo Emerson says this. Don't go where the path might lead, but instead go where there is no path and blaze a trail. And that's what I've done. You know what? That's what I've done. I've had a great foundation. But a woman leading a ministry, there was really no path for me just to go down. I had to find one. And I'm blazing my own trail. And I am becoming what I believe about myself. Because I believe that my Father's image of me is love. And that he has a plan for my future and not to harm me in any way. So here's how we're going to end up ministry time. I'm going to show you guys a video, and probably everybody in this room has seen this video before, but I want you to watch it one more time. And the reason I want you to watch it one more time is because it's about destinies being awakened. And after that, we're going to ask you, what lines do they go to? Okay, under the flags, there's lines. And what we want to do tonight is we want to activate your destiny. Some of you have been in slumber and you don't even know why you've been in slumber. But you have chosen to forgive, to let go, to embrace. And so the ministry team tonight is we're going to line you up and we're going to just release and activate your destiny, your future. And we're going to do this kind of fast tonight. So we're not asking this. Tonight is not a night of cries and moans, and it might be. But what I'm saying is it's not a night of sorrow. It's a night of joy. It's a night of joy because you're going to embrace your destiny. And some of you tonight are going to be able to come back 5 years from now and you're going to be the testimony. You're going to be the one up here sharing and go, I remember that night. I remember that day. Okay? So here, let's see if I can get this video to work. I said that last night. Here we go. There's no sound. Wait a minute.
My name is Susan Boyle.
Okay, Susan, where are you from?
I am from Blackburn near Bathgate, West Lothian.
It's a big town.
It's a sort of collection of... It's a collection of villages. I had to think there.
And how old are you, Susan?
I am 47. And that's just one side of me.
Okay, what's the dream?
I'm trying to be a professional singer.
And why hasn't it worked out so far, Susan?
I've never been given the chance before, but here's hoping it'll change.
Okay, and who would you like to be as successful as?
Elaine Page.
Elaine Page.
Like,
what are you going to sing tonight?
I'm going to sing I Dreamed a Dream from the Miserables.
Okay.
Big song.
Yeah? Yes.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
Did you hear what she said at the very end? But life has killed the dream I dream. And for some of us, that's our destiny right now. Life has killed the dream that some of you have dreaming, and Father's up there going, you have just broken covenant. And in Deuteronomy, it says, the just shall live by faith. That word live there means chaya. I got a hold of that one night, and I started running around my house and just, chaya, chaya, chaya. I did that for an hour. I'm not kidding you. Chaya. And I was telling somebody about it, and I was just striking the air. Chaya, chaya. My house is going to live. This ministry is going to live. I'm going to live. My family's going to live. And I was striking the air, and a guy told me that chaya in Zimbabwe means to strike the air. And that's what we're going to do tonight over some of you guys. We're going to line you up over on this side over here, and we're going to come along and activate your destinies. We're going to strike the air. We're going to chaya. And we're going to give life. We're going to pour life. We're going to pour love. We're going to give to you what's been given to us, and that's love. And you may say, you know what, I've done that, been there, whatever. There's always more. There is always more. So what we're going to do, if you guys will stand to your feet. Chaya! Yeah! Did you hear that?